It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. Public figures, more than ever, it would seem, are under the microscope. Instagram photos seemed to damn Aaron Schock as a guy living large on the public dime and taking pictures to show everybody. The new host of The Daily Show, Trevor Noah, was scrutinized over his Twitter feed before he has even had the chance to get behind the desk that Jon Stewart will be vacating. But celebrities, even ones as newly minted as Trevor Noah, are not the only ones who risk a takedown for a misstep on social media. More and more, average people are being called out and made villains for an ill-advised joke or a statement taken out of context. People have lost their reputations and jobs over such tweets and Facebook posts. Is this the wisdom of the crowd or the mean spirit of trolls? John Ronson, who has uncovered strange but true stories in his nonfiction books, The Psychopath Test and The Men Who Stare at Goats, has dived deep into this subject in his new book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And we welcome John Ronson to the program. John, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Steve. Nice to be here.
So you write about a woman named Justine Sacco who got into trouble over her Twitter account. She's a publicist, so you think she would have known better, and yet her ill-advised tweet pretty much turned her life around.
Well, you know, she had 170 Twitter followers, and, you know, she would tweet these little acerbic jokes into the ether. Nobody would ever reply. So I think what happened to her came as a kind of, you know, huge and unexpected surprise. Just because she was in PR, I think, doesn't mean she could come to expect this. Will I tell you what happened?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So she was on her way to South Africa, and she tweeted, while she was at Heathrow Airport, she tweeted, "Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding, I'm white." So then she kind of did what she always did, which was, you know, chuckled and pressed send and got no replies and felt that sad feeling we all feel when the internet doesn't congratulate us for being funny, and then got on the plane and fell asleep. And when she woke up in Cape Town, she turned on her phone to see a text from somebody she hadn't spoken to since high school that said, "I am so sorry to see what's happening to you." And while she slept, her tweet went around the world, and she was destroyed.
Now, this is the type of tweet that I don't think very many people actually would take it at face value. If a comedian were to make it, there would be an assumption that there's a certain amount of irony or shock that is involved in trying to make this joke. Why did people decide they were going to pile on Justine Sacco? Was it a willful misunderstanding? Was it just the idea that here's somebody that said something that we can jump on? How did it get so exponentially out of control?
It was incredible. And I think it's one of the kind of great mysteries of our times, because we've created this, you know, social media world for us. And you're right, hundreds of thousands of people piled in on this woman, hundreds of thousands of nice people like us. And I think a lot of them did willfully misunderstand, because, you know, it doesn't take an Einstein to work out that there's a difference between Trey Parker and Cartman. There's a difference between somebody being racist and somebody making a joke about racism, which is what she was trying to do. I think there was a bunch of things going on. I think the snowflake doesn't need to feel responsible for the avalanche, so everybody could pile in on her and not feel personally bad about it, because, you know, each snowflake doesn't make an avalanche as far as the snowflake's concerned. I think a whole bunch of people wanted to be kind of like Rosa Parks. But there's a very big difference between Rosa Parks and them, in that Rosa Parks was very brave, and they were just tweeting, "Let's get this woman fired." So everybody felt they could be like empathetic, good-hearted people, you know, from the comfort of their homes. And also kind of like drone strike operators, you don't need to, you know, look your victim in the face. So I think that was going on too. And actually, I think a fourth thing was going on, which was that the way that social media tends to be set up is that we surround ourselves with people who feel the same way we do. So, you know, when you started to tear apart Justine Sacco, everybody on your timeline was congratulating you and doing the same thing. And there's a kind of rush that overwhelms you, and everybody's like approving you.
I think what's interesting is that, you know, there's a mob mentality. It built momentum. While she was in the air and this built up, people started to pile on in a way that she wasn't responding, and it became like a private joke, like maybe somebody's got toilet paper on their shoe and you just watch to see how long it'll be there.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the world's worst surprise birthday party because a couple of hours into her flight, somebody, her employer said, you know, this is an outrageous comment. Our employee is currently unreachable on an international flight. And that's when things went insane. Somebody linked to a flight tracker website so everybody could see exactly when her plane was going to land and she would discover that she was ruined. This kind of, you know, mass hilarity. So much worse than toilet paper on your shoe. So, and it was uniting everybody from, like, really, you know, concerned people, like in the light of this horrendous tweet, I am donating to aid to Africa, right through to all the people saying, you know, let's rape her. You know, so she united an awful lot of disparate groups that night while she slept oblivious to all of this. And there was so much part of the joy of it was the fact that she was oblivious and asleep. So, you know, people were tweeting, I can't wait for this woman's plane to land. So, you know, we could all watch her. We're about to watch this woman getting fired in real time before she even knows she's being fired.
One of the things you just mentioned there is that some of the tweets were just horribly misogynistic and violent in a way, but nobody piled on those people.
No, it's crazy, right? It's like we could only handle destroying one person a night. So, you know, we were all so busy destroying Justine Sacco that we weren't, you know, we couldn't be bothered to destroy the person who wrote, somebody HIV positive should rape this bitch and then we'll see if her skin color protects her from AIDS, which is one of the tweets she got that night, which by any standards is worse than her original tweet. So I wanted to write a book where I would sort of journey into this land of people in hiding from being shamed by people like us, because Justine hadn't spoken to anybody and, you know, none of the people in my book had spoken to anybody. So I wanted to kind of really try and anatomize, you know, what it feels like, you know, why shame is such a kind of massive part of our lives.
We're talking with John Ronson. His new book is called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Justine, of course, as you said, is one of the people that you write about in the book and met. And you had written about her story in the New York Times prior to the book coming out.
Yeah.
Now, you sort of had people go after you for defending Justine. Mm. What did you think about yourself kind of becoming a troll target?
Well, it felt bad, you know, that I'm lying in bed because I had the flu. At first, everybody was saying, oh, my God, John Ronson's so compassionate and kind. And people were saying, I can't believe what you people did to Justine Sacco, as if they weren't the people who were involved in doing it themselves. And then it all kind of shifted and like people started tweeting, like, what racist is John Ronson going to put his cape on for next? Somebody. And I didn't reply to any of them. My favorite one, I mean, I was reading it and feeling kind of anxious. And then I saw one which kind of made me smile. Because somebody wrote, why isn't John Ronson replying to any of us? And somebody else wrote, because John Ronson only replies to men. And that made me realize in that moment that, you know, in these shaming situations, and again, this is a world that we have created for ourselves and for our children, and our children are getting damaged by this, you know, but in this world, it doesn't matter what you say, you're just a kind of blank canvas for other people to just put their ideology onto.
As you say, I think if you have a certain level of a high profile or celebrity, you're a particular target. But this is filtering down in a way where kids are taking on each other. And we've seen many cases of cyberbullying to the point where cyberbullying is now a word. What is it about the internet that brings out the most judgmental parts of people's personality?
I think it's, to a large extent, I think it's because people really want to be seen to be good people. I mean, obviously, if you're a kind of bullying, misogynistic troll, that's a kind of slightly different matter. That's you're just sort of, you know, spewing out all your nastiness. But it's only a small number of people who are that, who are kind of these outrageous trolls. Most people who destroy people like Justine Sacco are just, they're trying to be good people. They're trying to show everybody, look what a good person I am. I care about people dying of AIDS in Africa. So I'm going to destroy this woman who is misusing her privilege. That's what most people think. You know, let's get this person who's misusing their privilege. But the irony, of course, is that, you know, in desperately trying to be empathetic, these people are committing, you know, grossly unempathetic acts, because Justine was trying to make a kind of South Park type joke. That was her worst sin, and she was ruined for it. She lost her job. And she lost her sense of self. You know, she would wake up in the middle of the night kind of forgetting who she was. You know, when I finally journeyed to meet her, she, you know, I found a woman crushed. And what you said about children just then, I think, is really important, because I was talking to a child therapist the other day who said that almost all the children who come to her damaged now are damaged because of something that happened on social media.
I don't know, maybe just social media makes it easier, but bullying is something that's pretty old. Public shaming is something that is pretty old. And you've looked into this. You've interviewed people that judges that, for instance, engage in public shaming in their sentences. Is there an actual useful role for public shaming in our society?
I think there are useful roles. I mean, so for instance, the judges who, you know, sentence people to walk up and down the sidewalk wearing placards, you know, "I killed two people while drunk driving, don't drink driver, it might happen to you." There's a huge difference between those people and the people that we destroy on social media. And the difference is that when those people walk up and down the sidewalk wearing placards, people stop their cars and they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, things are going to be okay, come with me to church." And it's those sort of human interactions, those moments of kind of forgiveness and kindness and compassion. That's what makes everything okay, frankly. That's what brings people back into the fold, makes people dedicate their lives to doing good work. On social media, nobody's saying to Justine Sacco and then loads of people like her who I met, "Everything's going to be okay." You know, nobody was defending those people. It was all like, "Let's destroy them." In real life, we're rather kind, nice people. On the internet, we're not.
Is it that we forget that Justine Sacco is a person behind the Twitter feed, or that any of these other people who tweet something that engages outrage in a group of people, just because you see it on TV or the internet, we don't think they're real?
I think that's got a lot to do with it, yeah, which is why it was so important for me to write this book. This is a kind of, when you read "So You've Been Publicly Shamed," it's like a kind of panicky, anxiety-inducing book. People tell me it's like a terrifying book. And it's because any one of us could be Justine Sacco, or any one of us could be the person who destroyed Justine Sacco. And so when you read this book, you really feel the agony of what it's like to be destroyed by us. And I think that's kind of doing the story a service, because it's like, okay, this is what it feels like. Do you want to carry on doing it?
John Ronson's latest book is called "So You've Been Publicly Shamed." John Ronson, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.